Hi, I'm Aid from Clinic.
The band is celebrating a decade. Does it feel like it's that long?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's kind of, I think, you know, you just measure it in whether you're still enjoying making music, so it doesn't seem like a long time to me.
Based on Visitation, which we'll get into a lot, you're still enjoying making music.
Yeah, I'd say if anything, we're enjoying making music more now than when we first started out. I think you go through a period where, like on a second or third album, where it's that make or break period of deciding what you want to do, and on that second or third album sort of period is when bands, I'd say now, usually get dropped by the record company or split up. But I think, right, you know, we've I think. Definitely continued in our own bizarre path.
You had a fan early on in you know, the late John Peel.
You know, it's quite rare, because even now, you know, that sort of with the legacy with John Peel, there's still a lot of indie shows that would still toe the line more, you know, than he would, you know. And I think that's great to think that he was still doing exactly what he wanted, you know.
On huge BBC, you know, he wasn't on a little putt-putt station. He had a massive, massive audience that trusted him.
Yeah, and something like that is perhaps more value now than ever, because I think there's so much music, you know, and you can get any music you want with the internet. But to have someone of value that's kind of sifting through things and introducing new music, and it's just as excited as he was about music, you know, that is just absolutely, you know, it's rare, really. You know, there's so many careerists, I think, in the music business, you know, rather than music fans. Yeah.
I love the announcements on your website. Is the computer as cute as she sounds, and is she single?
Completely single, and probably as warped as she sounds, I think, on the website.
You're in the home of beat poetry here in San Francisco, and, you know, I've kind of always seen your songs as kind of romance and the madness of beat poetry. What's neat about what you do is it's the unpredictability of what's coming next. Although, you know, it's going to be joyful when you do surprise people.
Yeah, I mean, if you like, I think it's like, I always think about the sort of beat writers as a kind of lost art of what they were doing, in the same way as like certain sort of jazz is now. It just seems like there's no legacy of that, you know, just the way they just the juxtapositions and the mad arrangements and just not following form, you know. Is this something which you would think would have filtered down over the generations, but I think they seem to push the boundaries, and now it's as if it hardly took place, you know.
So because your songs are not cliched and they're not predictable, what do you use as a bar to kind of say to yourself, well, this is good enough to be a Clinic song?
The bar that's fairly clear to us is just if it makes us, if it entertains us, if it makes us laugh, and just generally, if the more out there or deranged it is, then we know we've hit the mark. I always think with, as you say, with a lot of modern things, that it's really so earnest, you know, and you can see how serious it's meant to be. But I think if you sort of cut out the middleman, then, I mean, an audience wants to be entertained, you know, or at least wants to be entertained with having a balance of a slightly darker or weirdness to it. So I think people are kind of missing the point if it's just bombarding people with angst and something that's...
Yeah, well, people make careers of that, I suppose. I read that you call this a party album, so who's attending the party and what are you serving? It kind of looks like a tea party on the album, but I think it's the tea party from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that would be fairly apt description of it. I mean, I think, you know, when we called it a party album, it was tongue in cheek, but I do think, you know, since like playing the songs shows that it's lots of the songs you can throw yourself around, you can dance to them, you can do a pogo, whatever takes your fancy, you know. And I think that to me would be a great party.
Let's go through four or five of the songs for the fun of it, because I popped them in as I was writing the questions. So Family starts out very friendly, and then it kind of ends with an explosion, but it never completely blows anything up. It kind of it's a big explosion, and then it peters out a little bit.
Yeah, it's an explosion. That's right. Yeah, it kind of very very faintly you can hear bongos just carrying on from the end of the explosion, and so that's a kind of leads you to think that something else should be happening. You know, so it leaves it definitely open ended.
An Animal Human, you know, I've played it in between a doo-wop song and Dr. John the Night Tripper, because that's what happens to that song. It's kind of doo-woppy. But then it gets very trippy.
Yeah, that was the melody for it was completely sort of doo-wop based, and we took away the chord changes and left it with the drone underneath. So, and then that seemed ideally set up for a ridiculous wah wah ending, you know, which is you can't really go far wrong with wah wah. Endings for songs.
You talk quite a bit about Bob Dylan in, you know, in interviews and things that you talk about, and then I heard a lot of him in Harvest.
Yeah, it's I mean,
it kind of came through there more so than a lot of songs you've done before.
I mean, it's like if you think of Bob Dylan, you know, now I think when it's mentioned as being perhaps the more song based things, but if you think about It's All Right Ma, I'm Only Bleeding or something, you know, then there was a lot of not particularly melodic, but you know, something which was rhythmically strong.
But the song that I get the most calls about is only a minute and 40 seconds long, and that would be Tusk, because you've worked up a major sweat, and then, you know, you take us to a slow dance in paradise after that. Did you spend a lot of time sequencing the record, or did you write the songs with that sort of thing in mind, or...?
When we set out at the start of an album, it's always to have those switches, you know, whether it's within songs or between songs, because I think, you know, it's something we know that we can do, you know, and hopefully make that work. So, yeah, but it's not calculated in that we have a quota of three slow ones, three fast ones, three punk songs or whatever.
But I also read that you start with a chord.
Yeah, it's usually a chord and a rhythm, you know, as opposed to a chord sequence.
And then you build upon that from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Visitations is not, by any stretch, you know, in this world of DIY, it's not a DIY album, and I don't think you do that sort of thing. I mean, you went back to a favorite producer and mastered the whole thing at Abbey Road. So tell me a little bit about the producer-artist process, because it must be interesting to produce your band.
I mean Gareth is Gareth Jones who mixed it. He's fairly off the wall, you know. He's but in all the right senses. It's like he's done pop music, which we're a fan of, and also he's done bits with members of Can, and so he's got a kind of krautrock influence in what he does, and so. I think that the relationship is just really, if you've got someone who equally enjoys having a laugh, you know, it's as simple as that.
It makes it fun. You do clubs like the one tonight, you know, where you 1,000 people, and then you go to places like Chicago and you do the Apple Store. So that's the other thing that's really kind of creative about your band, is I think you make certain choices about where you play to, you know, so the Apple Store, is it because of your love for all the technology and you figure it's good to be surrounded by all of that stuff, or just the mix of being also getting close to the audience?
Yeah, it's, I mean, when we get, you know, when you look at setting up a tour, I don't know whether, you know, it's... I mean, it'd be very easy to just get a list of venues and not really put any more thought into it. But I think, you know, we aim to do things differently each time we tour, you know, so... And plus, I think you can't really quibble with having a free chance to see music, you know.
But when you started this band, did you ever think you'd be doing gigs in a computer store?
I mean, for me, the things that I enjoy the most are ones where it's not... your sort of run-of-the-mill venues, you know, the more surreal the better, and I think that seems or should be quite a surreal setting, I think, for us.
You've picked the right record company. I mean, Domino is a great place for this band, because you're surrounded by really interesting people, but they're not afraid if you have a couple of songs and you want to put out an EP. And that's what happens. I'll suddenly say, oh, look at that, there's an EP from Clinic, I wonder if there's an album. But it's not even relevant, because you don't have a record company that's calling you up and saying, okay, it's we need the next record.
No, I mean, I think Lawrence Bell, who runs Domino, he's always wanted on his roster to have bands like ourselves, where it's just not bearing in mind any commercial considerations, and at the same time, you know, I think he's a pop fan himself and wanted to have like Franz Ferdinand, Arctic Monkeys, that side of it, but he's really kept the more oddball nature of the label going, you know.
Yeah, I know, it's a pretty wild mix. The last thing we do, you notice we did not talk for an hour. This is the little journey, and I hope you'll go there with me because it's a lot of fun. We've done over 100 of these. We call it a musical sandwich. So what we do is we pick two of your songs as bread. Yeah. From the album, and then I'm going to ask you to create a soundscape in between of anything you've always wanted to play with your music, and you can pick a bunch of tunes just off the cuff, just for the fun of it.
Yeah. I would choose Harvest and Jigsaw Man as our two picks. Okay, I'd go for the cheese. I'd go for I Was a Bugs Bunny Bendy Toy by the Mellotones, a Liverpool band. The lettuce, I think. I would probably choose, it's an obvious pick for us, but I think a classic nonetheless would be Reverberation, 13th Floor Elevators. I think the tomatoes, I think Constantinople Residence, San Francisco tie-in, and I think perhaps for Onion, I'd go for Johnny Mathis, When a Child is Born. Chips, I think I'd have Agitated, Electric Eels, bit of Garnish, maybe, yeah, I will choose this. I'll go for Glen Campbell, Wichita Lineman. Yeah, and a drink, I think, is that's always worthwhile, a drink, isn't it? And I think for a drink, I would go for the blimp off Troutmaster Replica.